Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. My message, you know, we're a little bit behind this year, but as you all know, every year in January, we do a time of prayer and fasting, 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I want you all to know that I really believe that this time of prayer and fasting sets the order of this church for the whole year. We see incredible things happen throughout the year because God's people have a desire to seek His face through prayer and fasting. And prayer and fasting is a spiritual discipline. I'll talk a little bit about that. It's an important part of our faith. It's something that we need. It's something that actually has been lost in the church at large. It's a discipline that we've kind of put on the back burner, but I got to tell you, the church, for the most part, has also put reading the Word of God and praying disciplines, spiritual disciplines, kind of at the side. We don't make them a priority in our life any longer. Now, I'm talking to people out there, not this church, because I know who you are, and I know that you do make that a priority. But the reality is the church at large is just going about their business without truly seeking the face of God. And prayer and fasting is an extremely important part of what we do. But I think that we just kind of take it for granted that God's going to move and God's going to do this. But He requires things of us as well. You know, I read a church bulletin. They were having a conference, a prayer and fasting conference. And sometimes we wonder if people are really serious about prayer and fasting, because in this conference they said the bulletin was prayer and fasting conference. The fee includes food. So how serious were they about prayer and fasting? You wonder, don't you? Well, we want to get serious about prayer and fasting. And I want to talk to you about prayer and fasting this morning. I want to, for those of you who may not know, I want to go basic here about what is fasting. What does it mean to fast? In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, it says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions." So you see, Ezra understood the importance of fasting in seeking the face of God, God's direction and God's protection. In Joel chapter 1, verse 14, it says this, "Consecrate a fast." That's another Old Testament word that we don't hear too often. But consecrate, set a date, establish a time for fasting. Call a sacred assembly. That's what we're doing. We're consecrating a fast. We're calling a sacred assembly. "Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord." Excuse me. Randy, would you please hand me that water? Thank you. Hallelujah. That's a good brother, isn't it? Jumps right to and brings you water. I demanded it. Come bring me water. Thank you. Thank you very much. Randy and I have been friends a long time, and we can joke with each other. And he gets me often, believe me. So we're looking at consecrating, calling an assembly, causing the body of Christ. See, it's something that we should do together. It's something that we should do individually. when we do it together, there are some rules that apply, some things that we're going to talk about. Well, they apply across the board. But we're going to consecrate, we're going to call an assembly, we're going to fast as a congregation. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, the people of Nineveh have been told that their city is going to be destroyed. And the king believed what they said, what Jonah told him. So he set a time of prayer and fasting. And it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. I have to excuse me, and all of a sudden, okay, so they set a fast day. They came together because they believed what God said, and they believed that God would intervene. I believe that this is a time of fasting. I believe it's a very important time in our nation for us to pray and fast and seek God. Could it be that if we pray and fast and seek the face of our living God, that He'll bring revival here to this place? I believe so. He'll bring revival in our area, that He'll bring revival to our state and our nation. We need revival in the world. We need to see people set free in the name of Jesus Christ. We need a Pentecost in the church today. A time of the Holy Spirit moving in such a powerful way that people will lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, see miracles and things happen that we don't normally see take place. Not because of us, but because of the Spirit of God that lives in us. And there's something about praying and fasting that helps move us in that direction. We don't move God with prayer and fasting. We move ourselves with prayer and fasting. We need to move the church with prayer and fasting. The word fast in the Hebrew is tsom. It means fast, fasting, or fasted. The King James Dictionary says that fasting is abstaining from food. Vine's Expository Dictionary says that it's voluntary abstinence from food. And Webster's Dictionary says to abstain from all or some kinds of food or drink, especially as a religious observance. So as we can see, a biblical fast is abstaining from food and sometimes water as well or drink. Wow, pray I get through this. So as we can see, oh, thank you. I don't know if I can speak with this in my mouth. Problem. Get down there close so I can spit it on somebody. So Webster tells us that it's abstaining from food, and all these dictionaries say it's abstaining from food. So a biblical fast is abstaining from food or water, drink. Okay, so and sometimes people have done it. Moses fasted food and water for 40 days. Jesus fasted food and water for 40 days. I do not suggest that for anybody. Fasting, so I've known people who have fasted 40 days, but not they have not gone without drink. They've gone without food. It can be very detrimental to your health to go without water. So you better make sure, without any kind of fluids, you better make sure that you're hearing from the living God before you do something like that. Amen? Okay? That's my disclaimer this morning. However, when we talk about fasting around here, in the past, many people have chosen to fast things like Facebook. That's a good, really good fast, probably forever. But Facebook, computers, all kinds of different things that may not necessarily be food related, but they felt like God laid it on their heart to do that, so they followed through with it. And that's very appropriate. We sanction that. You know, that's great. If you feel like God is telling you to fast a certain thing, it's not necessarily food, do it. We want, what most important is, I want you to be obedient to God. And if you hear that, do it. Because, you know, sometimes these things are more, become more important to us than our relationship with God. And when God speaks to you to fast something like that, He's trying to get your attention. He wants you to focus on Him and stop focusing on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is that you might be focusing on. So what we say about fasting, prayer and fasting around here, biblical fast is food and water, but God, I believe He honors. When we desire to serve Him, He honors other types of fasting. So, got that one. We've talked about that, so everybody understands what fasting is. Why should we fast and pray? Well, first of all, it's a spiritual discipline. Psalm 69:10 says, "When I wept and chased my soul with fasting, that became my reproach." Psalms 109:24, "My knees were weak with through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness." What I want you to see here is that the fasting, the purpose of fasting in these particular scriptures is that it's a spiritual discipline that probably should be done on a very regular basis. We should be fasting and praying more often than we really do. It's something that helps us to draw closer to God. It's a spiritual discipline that brings our body into subjection. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." He is saying we are to discipline our bodies, discipline our appetites, whatever that might be. If it's food, we need to bring our body into subjection under a disciplinary action by ourselves, by not eating or drinking or whatever it is, or watching, doing the Facebook thing, or whatever it might be. We are disciplining our person to draw closer to God. So it is a spiritual discipline. It's one that has been neglected deeply by the body of Christ over the years. But Jesus endorsed it. Listen to what Jesus said. When he was questioned by the Pharisees about his disciples, why they were not fasting, John's disciples fasted, the Pharisees' disciples fasted, and they confronted him, "Why aren't your disciples fasting?" And he responded in Mark chapter 2, verse 19. And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." Jesus was saying he was the bridegroom. He was with them. And the disciples are all friends of the bridegroom. Verse 20, "But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days." We are in those days. We're supposed to be fasting, praying and fasting, a spiritual discipline that we need to have in our lives. There's an old document, Didache. It's a first and second century document that relates to us from Christians in that era. And in that document, it encourages and almost demands that Christians during that era would fast at least twice a day, Wednesdays and Fridays. So it was something that the church endorsed. John Wesley believed in that so much that he really encouraged the Methodist church to engage in fasting 2 days a week. In fact, he was so convinced that it was something, that a spiritual discipline that needed to be in the lives of Christians and particular leaders, he refused to ordain anyone to the Methodist organization who did not fast on 2 days a week. So he truly believed it was very, very important. Okay, so it's a spiritual discipline. Number two, or B, under this topic, it causes us to earnestly seek God's will with all our heart. If we get our flesh out of the way and we get away from the food and we have these hunger pains that seem to rise up inside of us, guess what? It drives you to prayer. It causes you to cry out to God. And you seek the face of the living God rather than go to food for comfort. You know, how many have comfort food? Oh, just about every one of us. There's certain foods that it comforts us. You know, we were sitting around the fire last night, and I was watching ball games. I just had to have something to snack on. And I really like those cheese balls. About that, sitting right there, it was my comfort food. It was wonderful. Had a fire, had the ball game. Life couldn't get much better, except I needed my cheese balls. And it was good. So, and we all have those kind of things that you know, just comfort foods that makes us feel good. But when we're fasting, we stay away from that stuff. And we seek God. We turn to our living God. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with what? He was seeking God with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. In those days, they would put on sackcloth, which was about like burlap, and they'd put ashes on themselves. They wanted to make themselves as miserable as possible. And they did that even up to the time of Jesus. They were still following that practice. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, it says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. If we will turn with all our heart to God, fasting, seeking his face, he'll hear our prayers and he'll answer those prayers. But he requires something of us. I know that we hear a lot of preaching these days that it's all God. God's going to do it all. God's in control, and he is in control, absolutely. But he requires something of his people. He requires us to get ourself out of the way, seek his face, and get close to him. And one of the ways we can do that is through prayer and fasting. Charles Finney was a part of the Second Great Awakening here in the United States. He went and spent days in the woods praying and fasting. And after he did that, he went to a particular church. And we went to this church, he realized that this church was full of Christians, nominal Christians. They were irreverent. They didn't follow the Word of God. And, you know, they just were not serving God. But he went to this church filled with power. And he began to preach, and when he began to preach, the power of the Holy Spirit fell on that whole congregation. And everyone except one man, who must have been really stubborn, fell on their face before the Lord and worshiped God because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But Finney had prepared himself to go there and preach with power and authority. And people responded because the Spirit of God was moving. I want to tell you something. At times, I have prayed, I've fasted, and I've asked God to change circumstances. You know, sometimes we pray and fast because we're in a dire situation and we need God's help. And I ask him to change circumstances. Other times, I've prayed and asked him to change circumstances in other people's lives. And many times he's done that. But one of the most significant things that I can absolutely tell you that happens in my life when I pray and fast, God changes me, changes my heart. And that's the most important thing. no matter what happens in the circumstances that surround us. God is moving in such a way that He wants to touch our hearts. And prayer and fasting will allow Him to do that. It gets the junk out of your life and causes you to draw close to Him. Number three, my third point this morning is, what is the proper attitude toward prayer and fasting? Now, we got to have a good attitude about it, because in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, you can turn there with me. I think we're going to have the scripture up there, but I like for people to turn to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, it says this, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and they may appear to men to be fasting. And surely I say to you, they have their reward." This is what, you know, I was talking to you about the ashes, the sackcloth and ashes. That's what they were doing. They were making themselves appear to men that they were doing something holy and religious. And that's what it was religion. So they were doing this not for the purpose of drawing closer to God, but for the purpose of men seeing what they were doing, so that they thought they would be elevated in the eyes of the people. "But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face." So Jesus is telling us, you know, no more sackcloth and ashes. Don't even look like. Don't have a sad look on your face. Don't look like you're fasting. You're fasting before the Lord, not before men. "So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward openly." That's an awesome scripture. If we will do things in such a way, particularly prayer and fasting, in such a way that we're doing it to honor God, to draw closer to God, then He's going to hear our prayers, and He's going to honor our requests, and He's going to openly show Himself strong on our behalf. That's powerful. That's why this discipline of prayer and fasting is so important. In Zechariah 7:5, it says, "To all the people of the land, to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth to seventh month during those 70 years, did you really fast for me?" He was chastising them because what they were doing was fasting for themselves rather than fasting for God. For me? Really? For me? No, it wasn't for me. And you know it wasn't for me. Fasting is not a badge of honor to be worn on the chest so that everyone can see how holy and religious we are. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that draws our hearts closer to the living God. I like to quote Dr. Martin Luther King. Of course, we're having a holiday tomorrow, right? Yeah. And I'd just like to share a quote from him that I believe is very important, because Dr. King was a man that believed in peace and love, not hate and destruction, which we're seeing a lot of those kind of things being promoted in our society today. And it, you know, you can't point a finger at any particular group of people. There's just a lot of that happening. And the church has to stand strong and not allow that to enter in to our realm. We must walk in love and compassion and reach out to other people. Listen, I know that it's difficult. I've heard pastors, I don't care, you know, I've heard pastors white, I've heard pastors African American who have promoted violence to get your point across. That is contrary to the Word of God. Dr. King never promoted that. In fact, here's his words: "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And that's a fact. We have to walk in love toward one another. Anyone who proposes violence and hate is acting contrary to Dr. King's beliefs, and most important, the Word of God and Jesus' beliefs, what Jesus taught us. In Jesus' day, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. They hated each other. And what did Jesus do about it? He went right into Samaria. He went there and preached not only to Samaritans, but to a woman, God forbid. He wasn't even supposed to be talking to women. He went to the well and he spoke to this woman that needed to hear the truth that he had. He would not allow the prejudice of his day to stop him from doing the work that God had called him to do. Amen. Number four, my last point, and I'm going to get you out of here. Not snowing yet, right? Ah, hallelujah. We're going to make it. So what happens when we fast and pray? Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus was baptized and filled with the Spirit, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. The Bible says to be tempted to the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungered. We see that Jesus is our example. He fasted, so he intends for us to fast and pray. And we see what Jesus was doing. He was preparing himself for a battle with the enemy. And fasting was a very important part of this. So he went for 40 days fasting, and now he was going to be confronted by the enemy. And the enemy comes to him, and he was tempted in every way that man has ever been tempted. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Jesus was tempted in all those ways in this particular situation. The first thing he said to Jesus, because Jesus was hungry, "See this stone, turn it into bread." And Jesus said, how did he respond? Because he had the power of the Holy Spirit in him. He was baptized with the Spirit when he was baptized in water. The Spirit came down and rested upon him. So he baptized in the Spirit. He had the power. And he fasted for a very specific reason. But when he was confronted by the enemy, what did he say? He used the Word of God on him. Not only did he have power, but he stood on the Word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Jesus set the example for us. First of all, we've got to know the Word of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God and continue to allow that Spirit to fill us up. And we need to pray and fast to get stronger in our relationship with the Lord. Jesus delegated his authority to all of us. We know that in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What did he say there? He said, all authority has been given to me, then you take that authority. Now, of course, I'm paraphrasing here, but that's what it's telling us. You take that authority and go and preach the gospel and set people free and baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You do that. All of us, the body of Christ, is to be doing that kind of work. Now, we're not all evangelists, apostles, prophets. You know, we're not all a part of the fivefold ministry, but we all are ambassadors for Christ. So wherever we go, we can carry that torch of the gospel, the truth. We can stand. Our character can be different than the character of the world. And people will ask you, why are you different? what's different about you. It opens doors. Jesus definitely delegated his authority to his people. And then in Matthew 17, he taught us that we could increase our power to exercise that authority in our lives. When Jesus' disciples could not cast out a demon in Matthew chapter 17, he told them it was because of their lack of faith. But then he goes on to tell them how they can increase their faith. He says in Matthew 17, 21, however, this kind, he was talking about the demon, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Jesus was giving us a very important key to becoming strong, to using the authority he has given us, and to walk in power. Prayer and fasting will do that in our lives. Now, I want you to understand there is a difference in power and authority. We have the authority. That's been delegated to us. Will we walk in the power? Will we seek the power? Will we allow God to move in our hearts? Will we fast and pray and let God stir our spirits in such a way that we can be like that first century church? I don't know what God has in store for us in the future, but I know this. He always has a desire that his people will draw closer to him. And prayer and fasting will do that. A government man was taking geological readings for the Department of Interior. And he went to this farmer and he said, I need to go out in your field and take your pasture and take some readings, some geological readings. And the farmer said, you can't go out there. You can't go out in my field. And the guy said, oh, yes, I can. I can go out there. And the farmer said, no, you cannot go out in my field. He said, well, I have papers. And he took the papers out and he showed he had papers. He had the authority to go out in this guy's field. So without even asking the farmer again, he went over the fence, went out in the middle of the field, set up his equipment, and started doing his thing. And suddenly he felt the ground start to rumble. And when he looked around, there was this 10,000-pound bull coming at him with his head down and running as fast as he could. The guy forgot about his equipment and started running for the fence. He got pretty close to the fence and he called out to the farmer. He said, help me, please. And the farmer said, show him your papers. You can have authority, but you may not have the power necessary to do what needs to be done. We all have the authority. You must know that. You have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. But we do have to get to the point where we have the power to exercise that authority. Now, we don't have papers. What we have is the blood of Jesus. It's something greater than papers. It's authority and it's power. I'm going to end with this story. In 1798, Logan County, Kentucky was inhabited by horse thieves, murderers, highway robbers, counterfeiters, just about any evil thing that you can think of. Nobody wanted to go to Logan County, Kentucky. At least good citizens didn't. James McGreedy was a pastor and an evangelist at that time. And he was a circuit rider preacher, which was very popular at that time. He believed in the principle in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that he believed in that God would hear their prayers and pour out his spirit, answer their prayers. So he called a group of churches together, about four churches, and they began to fast and pray. The first thing they did, they searched their own hearts and they began to ask God if there was anything in their lives that needed to be dealt with. And God dealt with a lot of things in our lives. But within 3 years of that taking place, a revival took place. It was a wilderness revival. It spawned camp meetings, which when I was a kid, they were still going on. Lots of camp meetings were taking place around this area. But Kentucky, West Virginia, Ohio, they were all affected by this great revival that took place. Within 3 years in Logan County, Kentucky, the Baptist churches, the Methodist church, and the Presbyterian church had added about 10,000 members to each church because of the power of God moving in such a mighty way. We need that today. So I'm calling you, I'm asking you to join us. We're going to begin tomorrow with prayer and fasting. Ask the Lord what He wants you to do, how you would fast to honor Him, and exactly what He desires for your life. And we'll do this together 21 days. And we're just going to believe that God's going to do some incredible things as we seek His face. Stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.